Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Hamblin.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Schultz.
As moms who are currently in the thick of raising kids with big emotions, we know firsthand how challenging their intense behaviors can be.
And that a little support can go a long way.
This is a non-judgmental community that was created for you or any mom who's feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, or stressed.
Each week, either Emily or I will share our experiences, offer practical tips, and interview experts in the field so you can be empowered to help your children with their challenges.
Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood.
Hello, everyone. This is Ashley. So today I want to share with you some things that are kind of vulnerable to share and get pretty real with you. I'm going to share a journal entry from back in June of 2019, and I shared this entry back in episode 4, which was called Judgment and Isolation. I'm just going to read a portion of the entry to you right now, and just to give you some context, this is when our oldest was 9 and our youngest 2, who are twins, were 2 years old, and we have 5 kids altogether. And at this point, my oldest 2, and they are boys, they were diagnosed with ADHD fairly recently, and they also have some other diagnoses. Between the two of them, there's anxiety, and there's OCD, and there's tic syndrome as well. And I didn't know at this point that I also have ADHD. This is what I wrote. Parenting ADHD feels like isolation, judgment, overwhelm, constant effort, mental fatigue, constantly learning, seeking to understand, insanity, which by definition is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. In this case, putting my heart and time and energy into understanding my boys and continuing to see them struggle with big emotions, negative self-talk, impulsiveness, and focus. Can't keep up, concern, exhaustion, misunderstood by many, sadness for my boys at times, falling asleep, sitting up because I am so drained, constantly pouring out my canteen and only sporadically filling it up, needing time to unwind, which is only when everyone is asleep. Therefore, I am always tired. Another entry from 2019. At the top of this one, I wrote the quote, "It never gets easier. You just get better." I wrote, "I have been thinking about this lately. I feel like things have been more peaceful in our home the last few days in regards to our boys' challenges with emotional dysregulation and impulsivity. I'm noticing they are still having outbursts and acting impulsively, but I'm not allowing myself to get drawn in emotionally. I am being very intentional about regulating my own emotions. One tip I read is to walk into the bathroom when I feel like I'm getting angry and run my hands under warm water to reset. I'm connecting with my kids and allowing them to express themselves without dismissing their feelings. For example, one of my boys was upset today because one of the twins messed up something he built. He was crying and said he wishes he was an only child and he hates having siblings. He has said this many times in the past, and I have usually given him a quick response, basically saying we're part of a family for a reason and that he needs to act kindly. Today, though, I sat next to him and put my arm around him. I let him cry and express all of his thoughts, even when he was shaking in anger, yelling and sobbing about how unfair his life is. I didn't interrupt or downplay his feelings. When he was done, I told him, I understand what you're saying. You feel like you were more connected to Dad and me when we were able to focus all of our attention on you. You feel sad and a little jealous because our attention is divided in so many directions now. You feel frustrated when your siblings ruin things that are important to you. I understand how you would feel that way. That makes sense. I hugged him and told him I love him. I then told him, "I know Heavenly Father gives us family so we can learn and grow from each other and to help us become who He wants us to be, even though it can be hard sometimes." He calmed down and hugged me, and I could tell he felt connected to me. This goes along with Dr. Tina Bryson's approach of connect and then redirect. I know these things, but they do not come naturally to me, so I have to relearn them over and over. For a long time, I thought, what can I do to help my boys change, to improve their behavior, to stop the explosions and contention? And I am seeing clearly now what really helps is a lot of managing my own emotions, which is easier said than done. Connecting with them, even if it's only 5 to 10 quality minutes a day, and really listening to them without dismissing their feelings. I am the one who needs to change. That is what is working right now, and I am grateful. And I have one more journal entry to share with you before I kind of dive in to why I am sharing these. So bear with me. And this one was a little bit harder for me to read as I kind of walked down memory lane. This one was from August of 2020. And 2020 was a rough year. That was the pandemic. And it was, I don't know if it was super hard for you in this way, but with the stay-at-home order and having neurodiverse kids, it was incredibly difficult. So maybe this can kind of paint the picture a little bit. I wrote, "My feelings are raw tonight. Sometimes I feel like I just don't have anything left to give, like the demands placed on me are greater than I can respond to. I hold it together for so long, the big emotions, the meltdowns, the contention, the rude words, the I hate yous. One of my 3-year-olds spit in my face recently to show that he was not happy with me. The potty accidents, the messes. This morning, the twins turned on the bathtub while I was downstairs making lunches and turned the faucet so that it got water all over the floor and leaked into the laundry room downstairs. They also squirted toothpaste out of the tube all over the bathroom floor. Bedtime that takes forever, the night terrors that continue for one of our children. One child constantly coming into our bed throughout the night, no matter how many times I take him back to his room. Sleeping on the twins' floor half of the night, and then sneaking back into our bed for an hour before one of them wakes up for the day at 5:30 a.m., trying to get him to fall back asleep on the couch downstairs, but he's hungry. Drop-offs, picking up kids from various activities, from school, making dinner, hearing complaints about dinner. The after-school grumpiness, because they feel safe to let it all go. Cleaning up something, just to have it messy again an hour or so later. Constantly fighting the screen time battle, trying different medications with one of our children, and navigating the horrible side effects, trying to get the same child to take a myriad of supplements that help so much, but he refuses. Not even having a minute to myself to go to the bathroom without someone banging on the door or crying. Not being able to shower without an audience or breaking up a fight. Someone needing me every minute of the day. Feeling stretched so thin. Not being able to meet my kids' demands for my attention as often as they or I would like. Feeling ashamed of our house, but not having the mental energy to make much headway with it. Researching, calling doctors, looking into other medications and homeopathic approaches, trying to prioritize things important to me like reading scriptures and exercise, the constant dishes and laundry, feeling isolated from so many because of our kids' challenges, feeling a bit of shame and sadness because people don't understand and they think we're not good parents, praying and fasting for our children and our family, striving to repair, apologizing a lot, wondering if survival mode will ever end, all while trying to keep my own mental health in check. Even after I typed these words, I sat here with my fingers hovering over the keys and my eyes closed. I am so tired. I feel terrible, exhausted, tired, worn down, and like, I don't know how I can keep doing this for the next 15 years. Tonight, I feel like I failed my kids. I need to do better. I love them and they are precious to me. I am under so much stress and going on little sleep, and I just snapped with them tonight. I'm going to bed now. Wow, I have so much compassion for that version of myself a few years ago. These journal entries and many others that I kept throughout the years, they go back and forth between complete overwhelm and knowing that I wanted to show up in the way that I did in the middle journal entry that I shared, but wanting to show up more consistently in that way. Even though I knew what to do, because I had read it and I had listened to experts, but I didn't always remember. It wasn't consistent enough that it was fresh in my mind just to pull out at any given time. And I needed extra support. I craved it to keep that fresh in my mind. I needed better coping skills and tools so that it would just become muscle memory for me. There were times before I had better coping skills and better tools when I used to do other things to avoid the pain, the emotional pain that I was feeling. I used to dig my fingernails into the palm of my hands because the physical pain, though it wasn't too painful, but just feeling that physical pain was easier than feeling the emotional pain. And I didn't know how to cope in a healthier way. I remember a time when everything culminated and felt so overwhelming one night that I got in my car. My husband was home with the kids. And I just drove and I pulled over at a park in our neighborhood. And it all just felt like too much. I was so overwhelmed. And I prayed and I cried and I screamed until my throat hurt so much that I couldn't scream anymore. These are hard. These were hard, hard years. I had young children and I was struggling a lot. And maybe you can relate to some of this. I want to share with you how Emily's Emotionally Healthy Families membership has helped me in my parenting journey. Because having support is huge. Emily and I have been friends for several years, but more acquaintance friends during a lot of these really hard times that I was describing here. And we have become much closer friends the past few years. Her friendship is definitely one of the greatest blessings of my life. I have never felt judged by her. I have felt that she can relate and that we could be a strength and a support for each other. When she started her Enlightening Motherhood business, I knew I wanted it in my life. What she shares supports my values and goals in motherhood. I no longer feel isolated. I don't let judgment from others get to me because I know I'm not the only one going through this. And I know there are others out there who get it. This is so empowering. I don't feel nearly as overwhelmed as I once did. This is partially because my kids are a little older now. All of them are in school. But it's also largely due to feeling more support and having resources at my fingertips to navigate during difficulties. Parenting neurodiverse children while being neurodiverse myself is still an effort, but it's becoming more muscle memory as I practice and as I see progress. It helps me to be able to share this with the membership group, share my progress in coaching calls, to ask questions, to feel supported by others, and also to share directly with Emily. And sharing my progress and what I'm learning helps solidify it for me. At times, there is mental fatigue still, but it feels more balanced now. Part of that is that I've really learned to prioritize self-care. And I've come to realize that it helps me show up as the mom I want to be when I do prioritize that. And also part of that is I was not always able to prioritize it the way that I longed for, that I longed to do during those really hard years when my kids were really little. And I didn't start making exercise a priority until after my second child was born. And that helped immensely. Even the little bit that I could fit in was a game changer for me. But another aspect of self-care for me is continuing to learn and apply what I'm learning in parenting. Learning and seeking to understand is definitely one of my core values. And Emily's membership supports me in this goal. Absolutely. Sometimes I still get discouraged. And I think my family is far from being emotionally intelligent. We still have struggles, a lot of them. My kids still have big emotions. They still fight a lot with each other. They all have low frustration tolerance, and they are all impulsive. Every person in my family has ADHD, and that's a lot to navigate for all of us. But I can look back at my journal entries and see progress over perfection. I can re-listen to Emily's membership modules when I'm feeling discouraged and have it fresh in my mind, feeling encouraged to keep going. Even listening through the second time through her modules in the membership, there are things that stood out to me that were helpful. And I would text her and say, wow, this is so insightful, what you shared. Most importantly, I have support to show up the way I want to, regardless of the struggles with my children. I'm able to stay calm most of the time. And I still yell sometimes. And I still get frustrated sometimes. And I also have learned to forgive myself and to repair with my children and to give myself grace and to know that I'm a good mom who's having a hard day. My kids are great kids who are having a hard time. And it's okay. And we can move forward. And another big thing for me is being able to break the cycle of unemotional intelligence. Because a lot of us were not raised in emotionally intelligent homes and families. So we're kind of the pioneers who are paving this path and making it better for future generations. And I love that Emily's membership really helps support this goal too and gives me the tools that I need so that I can accomplish that. If you can relate to the journal entries I shared and would like to have support and tools fresh in your mind to help you and your family, I really can't recommend Emily's membership enough, the Emotionally Healthy Families membership. What a gift, a beautiful gift to give your children, the gift of an emotionally healthy mother and an emotionally healthy family, and even to just be taking steps in that direction. I hope that this was helpful and that if nothing else, it helps you realize that you are not alone and that it's hard. And if you are in the trenches and you have young kids and you're feeling like I did in these journal entries, I do want to give you hope that it gets better. And especially if we are intentional about learning and growing and applying. And I do want to say one thing about memberships. I have signed up for memberships before, and there is one that I am thinking of in particular that I signed up for over a year ago, and I have never, ever logged into it. And every time I think about it, I feel this overwhelming guilt because I pay monthly for it. It's not a lot, but I just feel so bad and I want to do it, but it's that, you know, good intentions, but it just hasn't happened and life is busy and it just keeps going on and I forget about it, out of sight, out of mind. So one thing I would recommend is to time block, set time aside to make it a priority. Put it on your calendar, set an alarm on this day and this day from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I am going to focus on making or being intentional about creating an emotionally healthy family. And you can listen to the modules. You could, if you're part of emotionally healthy kids. You can log in there and there's so many great resources. And you could take notes, you can practice, you can role play, you can talk with your kids, whatever it is, so that you're moving forward. But definitely time block it so that it will happen. All right. I hope that you have a beautiful week with your family. Just one final note that I wanted to mention is that Emotionally Healthy Families is currently closed, but it's opening up really soon. It's going to be open from May 7th to the 14th, and you can get on the waiting list for that by going to emotionallyhealthyfamilies.com/membership. I hope to see you in there.